welcome to Easter Sunday, or at least it'll be Easter Sunday when you see this. This is actually being recorded the afternoon before on Saturday because I am under the weather and I don't want any of you to catch what I've got. And at the same time, because it's such short notice, I thought, hey, the Lord has already given me this message. I've got enough energy right now, this moment. So we're going to do a little experiment, and we're delivering it this way this time. Fear not, especially if you're a visitor. This is not what we normally do. I would encourage you to visit us in the weeks to come as well. My prayer is that the Lord will bless us with his word. So, if you are a guest with us, we're so glad that you're here. Easter and Christmas are two dates on the calendar that so much of what we believe revolves around. And that starts with the birth of Jesus Christ, and then as well with Easter, his rising from the dead. Now, if this is your regular church home, I'm so glad that you are getting to celebrate the risen Savior today. And though I'm not with you here in person, I'm celebrating as well. And one of the blessings of Christ's church all around the world means that though you and I are separated now and, in space, nevertheless, we are coming before the throne together today. Let's open in the Bible to Mark chapter 16. Mark is in the New Testament, so if you need to find that in your Bible, there's a table of contents, and you'll see the Gospel of Mark. And chapter 16 is near the end of the book, so you're going to look for the big, bold number 16. And if you would turn there, I want you not just to hear me saying and reciting what comes out of this, but I want you to see it for yourself. Mark introduces the importance of this day, of Easter Sunday, far better than I ever could. Here's how he begins. When the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene, Mary, the mother of James and Salome, bought spices so that they might go and anoint him. And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. And they were saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance of the tomb?" And looking up, they saw that the stone had been rolled back. It was very large. So we start with this first picture on Easter Sunday, Resurrection Sunday, and it's that these ladies went to honor Jesus. So where are we? That's a great question to ask any time you open a Bible. Where are we in the story? In Mark's account, the biggest thing that had just happened before this was the betrayal, arrest, crucifixion, and death of Jesus Christ, the one whom Mark has gone to great lengths to show is both God and man. He is God's Son. He is the Messiah, the promised one, whom the Lord had sent to rescue his people from their sins. I mean, this is really what all of Mark's writing is about. It's this record of Jesus Christ. So amazing is Jesus that he is without sin, he is without flaw. In fact, he is perfect, and yet he dies in our place. His perfect life for our sinful ones. That's what makes him so astounding. And that's really the entire record, the entire point of what Mark is after here. Ultimately, then, this is what Christians call the gospel. This is the good news. It's that Jesus Christ is God's Son who lived the perfect life and came to save imperfect sinners like us. And just as I mentioned a moment ago, he did that by dying on the cross in our place. And as astounding as that is, that Jesus would die, that God himself would pay the price for his people, right? That, which is astounding, that's amazing. There's a second half to that truth as well. Now they go hand in hand. And it's that on the third day, this Jesus rose from the grave, conquering death, so that all who trust in him, right? That's what a Christian is. It's someone who trusts in and follows Jesus Christ. All who trust in him will likewise have eternal life. So someday when Christ returns or calls us home, we will be with him. We will enjoy him forever. All right, so that's kind of what Mark has been building up to. That's what all of this is about. And in fact, that's what this Easter Sunday is all about. This is the resurrection part of that gospel good news. This is the conquering of death. Easter is the promise that there will be no funerals in heaven, no cemeteries, or as beloved author J.R.R. Tolkien has put it, Easter is the promise that everything sad will come untrue. Right, what an amazing fact that is, that every Christian will get to enjoy forever. And so, as we continue this morning, I want you to ask a question for yourself, and it's this. Will you enjoy Christ forever? Will you? Let's talk through that here. As Mark records in these verses, it was at that point a Sunday, the day after the Jewish Sabbath, and we're told of three ladies, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome. These have featured prominently at the end of Mark's book. They're followers of Jesus. You might know that Jewish people were commanded to not work, to not do any work on the Sabbath. And so these ladies were faithful to God. They were witnesses to the crucifixion. They rested then on the Sabbath. It's now Sunday, and for them, they could now proceed with trying to honor Christ. They hadn't had time to anoint his body. That was part of Jewish burial custom. And now they're making up for that. Now they have bought spices. They are going to care for Jesus, to honor him as best they can. On their way to the graveyard, the ladies have a conversation about a problem that they're anticipating. See, Jesus had been buried in a tomb. Think almost like a cave or cut into the rock. And that tomb, again, as would be tradition, would be sealed, the entrance would be covered with a massive boulder. Right? How would these ladies open the tomb to get to Jesus? Right? This is not some little stone. This is not, like a manhole cover kind of thing. How would they get in? And this right here is where the first really important point happens. The ladies arrive at the tomb, and they find that the stone has been rolled back. Mark wants us to understand this as the work of God. It doesn't say, well, there was a block and tackle pulley system and it was, still sitting there. And no, it's been opened. Right? The very thing they worried about had been solved. Right? Something very unexpected is going to be happening in this graveyard. Now, I don't want to pause for too long here, but before we move on, I do want you to ask yourself, what do you believe about Jesus Christ? If you're not familiar with his words and works, well, let me invite you to read through Mark's gospel. It's relatively brief. It contains all you need to know to respond to who Christ is. And so here's the challenge. How you respond to Jesus is everything. Trust him, and Easter will become a day of unshakable hope for you. Take Jesus as your Savior. And ultimately, you can have assurance that you are rescued from your sins. Now, with that radical, amazing, gracious truth in mind, hold it there, and let's keep reading, because our story continues. Look at verse 5. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, dressed in a white robe, and they were alarmed. And he said to them, do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. Right? So now if you think of a story here, we're moving to the next scene. It's almost you might call it the inside the tomb scene. And the camera zooms in, and the three ladies are there, and there's this young man, and they heard that Christ lives. So the ladies enter this mysteriously open tomb. They encounter a man, not Jesus, but a man whom the Bible describes as looking like somebody young, dressed all in white. He's clearly not an ordinary man, and we know that because of how the ladies respond. Right? They're not asking just sort of the random perfunctory questions of, hey, are you, how's the weather? They're not asking any of that. Instead, their response is that they're alarmed, right? They're amazed and afraid. Afraid because this is the common response of humans to angels. I realize our culture has all kinds of views and ideas about angels, almost sometimes like seeing them as a like magic genies. That's not what the Bible shows, though. Instead, angels are powerful servants and messengers of God. They are otherworldly in that sense. And humans recognize these beings as being outside of our experience, beyond our control. Fear, then, is the normal response. And this incident is no different. But what's more, not just fear, these ladies are also amazed. Right? This is not what they expected. They expected to find a tomb somehow, maybe find someone to help get it open, and they thought they would be anointing the body of their fallen teacher and master. And this would be a day only of sorrow for them. The end of chapter 15 says that they had seen where Christ's body was laid. Now they're invited to look at that very same place, but there's no body to anoint. The angel goes on to say exactly what Christ himself predicted earlier in Mark. It's that he would rise from the grave on the third day. In Jewish thinking, Sunday would be the third day when counted from Friday. They count inclusively, so Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Said another way then, this is what everyone should have expected. And yet, this is what everyone thought was just too good to be true. Right, brothers and sisters, let me give a word now to those of you who do follow Jesus, who already trust him. Hear this. The empty tomb is not confirmation of our faith, but instead it's a result of our faith. What do I mean by that? Well, the other gospel authors speak more about the reactions of those who tried to discount the empty tomb, right? There were all these theories, all these things that people said to try and downplay. Oh, the disciples stole the body. Oh, right? The other gospel authors fill more in on. So if you've got questions, by all means, the Bible has some answers there for you. But I want you to see here that Mark focuses on what Christ has done, right? The tomb is empty because Jesus is not dead. That's why it's empty. He doesn't need a tomb anymore. For those who trust him, we don't need to fear the grave either. A day is coming when there will be no more hospital rooms or funerals or cemeteries. Christ has begun that work, and he will complete it upon his return. And in between, you and I have a call, and the call is to trust him, to believe what he has said. It is no less certain than here with his resurrection. The same Jesus who spoke of rising on the third day is the Jesus who said that he was going to prepare a place for us and that he would return at due time. And that's every bit as certain. Our call is now to respond to him in worship and to such a way that we both speak of this good news to others. Right? Think of how hopeless so many in our world are. They need this, just like you now have this. And then secondly, it's to keep holding to this truth yourself. The resurrection isn't just something that happened and that's great, check, and now I move on with my life. No, the fact that Jesus has risen from the grave animates it, it motivates it, it energizes, it gives life to our faith. And this is why we have joy as we follow Christ. This is why we have joy in a bad news kind of world. Have you ever thought of it this way? The best news in the world changes people. It does. Getting engaged to be married radically changes how a person thinks and acts. You know, they start, even though they're not married yet, you know, they start, okay, you know, I've got to be responsible, and, you know, I've got to take, you know, I've got to take my future intended, you know, into my decision-making process now. It changes them. Take graduation. Graduation from high school does something similar. Right? Even before you go walk across that stage, you're already starting to think a little bit of, okay, you know, am I going to college next, or to trade school, or do I have a job lined up? Or right? These sorts of things change you. No less is that true of trusting Christ. To believe in Jesus is to be changed by him. It's to live differently as a result of knowing him, and even more importantly, being known by him. Take time today, then, brothers and sisters, to celebrate Christ's work. What he's done in defeating sin, how he has specifically done that, not just in general, though he has, but for each of you who is a Christian, he is at work in you, in your life, today. Astounding. The God of the universe cares not just about his people, broadly, generically, but also his people, you and you and you and you and me. That's worth celebrating. That's the sort of encouragement we need, but that's also why we worship our good and gracious King. There's one more scene in our story that I want us to see today. And that's verses 7 and 8. The young man continues to give instructions, but go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you. And they went out and fled from the tomb, for trembling and astonishment had seized them. And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. Now, I realize most of your Bibles probably have a footnote there and some other verses. We'll cover that at another time, fear not. But what do we see here? Right, what we see is that they fled and told the good news. It almost doesn't seem like it goes together. Well, let's see here. Mark's conclusion says only what's needed and nothing more. Have you noticed that? Mark's a master of this, you know, brevity, using just a few words to communicate. The angel tells the ladies to go back to the fearful disciples and tell them that what Christ had already told them, what Christ had taught earlier, tell them, remind them that it's true. They would see him in Galilee. I want you to notice the note of real human nature here, right? These gals run from the tomb. They have that same mixture of both fear and excitement, right? Otherworldly things are happening. And yet, wow, what if what Jesus has said is really true? It's amazing. Right? Can't you sense that? That sort of pull both ways? That's what's happening here. Right? The other gospel authors have some more details at these points. Telling us that these ladies, they do go and tell the disciples of what has just happened. The disciples themselves, they come, they learn the truth, growing in their trust of Jesus bit by bit. Right? So there is more to the story that we know from the scriptures. But again, let's just stick with Mark here. I want you to notice this as we close. Following Jesus doesn't always result in instant transformation. I mean, there are some things that happen the very moment you trust Jesus Christ. But I want you to notice it's not always every possible change. Right? The Bible has a word for this, and it's called sanctification. It takes time to be conformed to this disciple who follows Jesus. It also takes time to build courage in him. We who trust Jesus are changed. We are transformed. Sometimes very dramatically, but often that result takes longer than just one instant in time. Following Christ is, well, as one author has put it, it's a long obedience in the same direction. Too often, I think we expect instant transformation. Sometimes that's what God does, but I'm not sure that's normally what we see. Instead, if you would continue reading on, Acts would be the next book historically in the Bible, you're going to find that disciples of all kinds, all stripes and backgrounds, they grow, they have setbacks, they trust Jesus to move forward, they fall into sin, they repent. And yes, it is this upward trajectory of growing in Jesus Christ, but it takes time, and it's not always a straight line, and yet these are the folks who God chooses to use and to bless and to see safely to their heavenly home. Maybe you feel a bit like that this Easter. Perhaps in your mind, it's not so much that you don't believe, it's more just you don't feel all that thrilled or excited about Jesus or resurrection. Maybe your response is puzzlement. You know, if you trust Jesus and yet struggle to answer the question of, okay, what now? Well, if that's you, then you're in good company. Discipleship, which is what we mean when we talk about following Jesus, that's a process that takes a life, your life, mine. Whether the Lord gives us a lot of years or a few, that's what discipleship is. So this Easter, then, take time to call on Jesus. Take time to trust him. Take time to thank him for what he has done in saving you. But also take time to ask him to grow you, that you would trust his timeline for your life, that you would trust him when you're not sure what to do next, that you would believe his words even when they seem the most unlikely things ever, because all of Easter seems pretty unlikely, doesn't it? And yet that's what was such a surprise to these ladies, to the disciples, to everything unfolded exactly as Jesus has planned. And that, dear friends, is good news. That's why we can call on Jesus. That's why we can pray and not just think that we're saying words, but instead it's because our good Savior hears. He has a plan. He will do what is best. And we who trust in him shall enjoy his blessing forever. So, our marching orders for Easter, it's to enjoy our King. It's to follow after him faithfully. It's to walk in the joy of this new life that he has given us from today until the day that we are with him, experiencing and enjoying his promises firsthand and forever. Brothers and sisters, Christ has risen. Christ has risen indeed. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much, Lord, that what you call us to is the best possible news in a world filled with bad news. just tell us to clean up our act and then maybe we'll have a chance at heaven. You don't even just tell us that Jesus rose to new life and good for him. No, instead, you tell us that Jesus has conquered sin and death and that he prepares a place for us. That what Christ has done means that we too shall be with him. We too shall not stay in the grave. Our ancient foe, sin and death, it will not win in the end. And Father, thank you. Thank you for having such mercy on us. Thank you that our King is this good, and even that this good is so much better than the best we can imagine. So Lord, now for each of these dear friends here, I pray, fill us with joy and hope in Christ. Give us strength and courage to follow after him. And help us take this good news to those around us, that the joy of Easter, the joy